We're going to be meeting a few more times before Purim, it's Hashem. I'm going to speak a little bit about Inyan in Purim, how it relates to this past week's parasha. The Sugya of the Eagle. Is there a connection between Purim and the Chet Eagle? It would seem that there is, because the Torah, in a regular year, when it's not a Yip year, places the whole Nes of Purim, the Simcha of Purim, together with the Kriya of Parshas Kisisa, which centers around the Chet HaEgel. The Gemara tells us, to the Medrash, that when the decree was given and the Rishus was given to Haman to annihilate the Jewish people, the Medrash says that Eliyahu was frantic and he went to the Kfar of the Avos to wake them up, to awaken Rachman and Bnei Yisrael. He went to Avram and Yitzhak and Yaakov, and each time Avram said, not a big deal. I can't help you. Until finally he came to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu was willing to work with Eliyahu. And Moshe asked Eliyahu, is there anybody downstairs who is tzaddik enough to partner with me to rescind this gzeirah? And he said, yes. There's a Jew downstairs with Shmuel Mordechai. His name is Mordechai. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, if that's the case, ani milamala, Mordechai milamata, we have a shutfis, I'll work up here, Mordechai will work down there, and together we'll get rid of this gzeirah. So why was it that Dafka Moshe Rabbeinu was the one to step up to the plate against this gzeirah of Haman and Achashverosh? Furthermore, the Gemara tells us that it wasn't clear for what reason there was such a harsh gzeirah that was decreed upon the people in Shushan and throughout the world. The Talmid Reb Shimon asked him this question. And what comes out from that conversation is that there were two primary averus which Klai Yisrael were held accountable for. One was that they bowed down to the Tzelem of Nebuchadnezzar. That was not too long ago. And secondly, because they were Nana from Sudas Achashverosh. So what's the inyan of these two chatayim? And lastly, why is it that when it comes to Purim, unlike Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, there's an idea the Gemara speaks about, Af hein hayu ba'us hanes, that the women are obligated in all the mitzvahs hayom, just like men are, because like some Rishonim learn, not that they were also included in the nes, but they were responsible for the nes. Esther was the one who was the heroine in this case. So let's begin to discuss these questions with Siyata Deshmaya. The Medrash Pirkei Rabbi Elazar tells us that all the kelim in the Malchus of Achashverosh were all gold. As the Pasuk says, V'hashkois b'klei zahav. V'hashkois b'klei zahav. So why was he infatuated with zahav? So the Radal in his Perish there on Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says that Achashverosh wanted to be like Shlomo HaMelech. Because it says about Shlomo HaMelech, V'klo klei mashke HaMelech Shlomo Zav. And Shlomo HaMelech used Zav in his kingdom. And the Radal says that Achashverosh wanted to be like Shlomo. Now, why did he want to be like Shlomo? The answer is because the Gemara tells us that there are a few people who ruled over the entire world. Shlomo was one of them, and Achashverosh is one of them. The Medrash does note, however, that the Megillah begins by saying that Achashverosh ruled over 127 provinces. And the Medrash asks, 127 provinces, but there are really 252 provinces. So the Medrash says that because he killed Vashti, he lost half his Malchus. There was a rebellion, a global rebellion against Achashverosh, for having killed the queen. But Shlomo was considered to be the one who Ahasuerus looked up to, and he tried to pattern, so to speak, his malchus after the way of Shlomo HaMelech. What's interesting is that with this we can explain a number of things. First of all, Chazal tell us that what was this celebration that Ahasuerus was celebrating now in the third year of his reign? That he was sitting on his throne. So Chazal say it took him 3 years to make this throne. That really what he had wanted originally was to bring the Kisei of Shlomo to Paras and Madai. But it was too heavy. It was impossible to carry. And furthermore, every time anybody tried to sit on it, there were these golden, whatever they were, statues of lions, which would become animated, they would jump into life, and they would scare away anybody who tried to sit on the throne. So Ahasuerus realized that this dream was not going to be reality. So what he did is that he instructed that they should make for him a throne which looked like the throne of Shlomo HaMelech, so that anybody who would come and see Ahasuerus, they would be wowed by the Kisei of Shlomo HaMelech. What happened was, and the Gro points this out, is that the throne that he had made also was too heavy to move, because it was being designed in Shushan. So what Ahasuerus did is that he took the capital of Paras and Madai and he moved it to Shushan, because that's where the Kisei was. This is the insanity of Shlomo HaMelech. With this we can explain also why it is that Ahasuerus took so many wives. Because we know that he made this beauty pageant. And it wasn't that women came to the palace and they walked down an aisle and that they left. Anybody who was with the melech, and he took besulos and beulos, Chazal say, they were forever pilachim of the king. So you can imagine he had an entire army of women who were like his wives. They were completely meshubah to the melech. And once they were used by the melech, they couldn't be used by anybody else. So who does that remind you of? Shlomo HaMelech. It's also in the footsteps of Shlomo HaMelech. So what Ahasuerus wanted to do was to be like Shlomo. Was to be like Shlomo HaMelech. Why do you want to be like Shlomo HaMelech? Because he saw that Shlomo had found favor in the eyes of Hashem. And Hashem agreed to his malchus. And Ahasuerus was very afraid of the Jewish God. It's been found in many midrashim that Ahasuerus was very wary. Even the Gemara. He was concerned that if he would make a decree against the Jewish people, it would befall him like what happened to Paro, and to Sancheirev, and to the other kings before him. He tried to be like Shlomo, that Hashem shouldn't be upset at him. You know, but what's ridiculous about this whole thing is that he was missing the Ikar Nekuda of Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech was not just a world ruler. He wasn't just this king of the world. Shlomo HaMelech was a tzaddik emes. He was the greatest tzaddik of the generation. So although Ahasuerus was an ish chitzoni, he was a completely superficial, artificial person, the biggest in the world. So when he looked at Shlomo, he just looked at the chitzonius of Shlomo HaMelech. And he said, oh, well, how can I be like Shlomo? Okay, so I'll do all the things like Shlomo. I'll have his throne. I'll have the wives that he had. I'll have the gold all over my kingdom. But you're missing the boat. The main thing about Shlomo HaMelech was that he was a tzaddik. And the biggest accomplishment that Shlomo HaMelech had was that he built a Beis HaMikdash. And the one thing that Shlomo HaMelech did, what Ahasuerus refused to do, was to build the Beis HaMikdash. That the Gemara says, that what did he say to Esther? He wanted to know where she came from. And he says, "Ain't Esther Magenda?" She won't say. But so then Ahasuerus told her, "No, at chatzi hamalchus v'seyas, I'll even give you half the kingship." So Rashi says, based on the Gemara, "What's chatzi hamalchus? What will I not give you? What's the half of the malchus which I won't give you? I won't give you based on English." So although it's one thing that Ahasuerus is refusing to act like Shlomo HaMelech in, this one thing is the essence of who Shlomo HaMelech was. This was his greatest accomplishment. This his whole life was to build the Beis HaMikdash. So by not doing that, you passel yourself completely from being like Shlomo HaMelech. But this is the way that an artificial person thinks. That he can do everything like Shlomo HaMelech and be like Shlomo, and just one thing I won't do, but the one thing you don't do passels you. Because Menei Ubei, you're not like Shlomo if you don't do that thing. That's who Shlomo is. But this is how an Ish Chitzoni thinks. And it's a very important point to highlight, because we live in a Chitzonius world, and this is how people think. You know, when I grew up, this is a little bit before your time, so the big shtick was to wear the Air Jordans. And the commercial, and this was like the greatest marketing campaign ever, was "If I Could Be Like Mike," right? They had the good song, they had everything, the jingle, everything was perfect, "If I Could Be Like Mike." If you could just wear the Air Jordans, then you'll be like Mike, right? But that's ridiculous, right? Michael Jordan is not defined by his shoes, right? He's defined because he's the best basketball player. So if you're not the best basketball player, then you're not Jordan. But you can get people to think, if they drink Sprite and so on and so forth, that they'll be like all these guys, and everybody falls for it because it's completely chitzonius, and people are chitzonius people. And they'll actually walk around thinking like, I'm a little bit like that person. Me and him, we're the same. But you're completely puzzled from that person. If you can't slam like he can, then you're not him. Not even close. Because that's what defines him. But this is how an Ish Chitzoni thinks. And in fact, the Megillah calls him out on this because the Megillah says, Kisheves HaMalach HaChashverosh. It doesn't say Bisheves. The Medrash says, Kisheves Velo Bisheves. Yeshiva She'eni Yeshiva. Even when he sat on the throne, it wasn't really Yeshiva. Just because you can sit on a throne which looks like the throne of Shlomo HaMelech doesn't mean anything, because it looks like the throne of Shlomo HaMelech. You're not Shlomo. Just because you can sit on a throne which makes you think that you're Shlomo. It's like Shlomo, but don't kid yourself. This is not Bisheves. This is Kisheves. That's one idea when it comes to why it is, based on the Radal, that everything in the palace of Achashverosh was Zav. I can be like Mike syndrome. But more important, and in a previous level, Achashverosh used Zav for the following reason. Like we said, Achashverosh was fearful lest HaKadosh Baruch Hu decide to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And he knew that there was one thing which was hanging over the Jewish people forever. As the Torah says in last week's parasha, Uviyom pokti ufakarati aleichem, that forever Hashem Yisbarach remembers the Chet HaEgel. And it's for that reason, Shlomo HaMelech, I should say Achashverosh, that he had Zahav all over the palace, that it should be a Zecher, that it should be a Zecher, that the Beis HaMikdash should not be rebuilt because of the Chet HaEgel. That the Zav was a Zecher to the Chet HaEgel. In fact, the symbol of Achashverosh's Malchus was the Sharvit HaZav. The Sharvit HaZav. The Sharvit HaZav, which was before Achashverosh, meant that this staff which decides between life and death is the ultimate Zikaron for the Chet HaEgel. In the hands, the scepter in the hands of Achashverosh. And why did he make this party, Chazal say? Not just because of the celebration of his throne, that's a tam chitzoni, but the primis reason why he made this party was to celebrate, the Gemara says, that the 70 years promise of rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash was up. And so therefore, what better way to demonstrate, to be miyayish, to instill yish in the hearts of the Jewish people, that the Beis HaMikdash won't be rebuilt, by making everything by the Suda out of Zav, as if to recall before Hashem Yisbarach, yeah, no Beis HaMikdash, remember the Chet HaEgel. Because the Egel was the Egel Azav. In fact, it could be said that the reason why Achashverosh donned the clothes of the Kohen Gadol, like the Gemara says, because the clothes of the Kohen Gadol were also Zahav, and this was just part of the event planning at the party was to fit into the theme, the gold theme, was to wear the clothes of the Kohen Gadol. Of course, to instill, again, that sense of yish in the hearts of the Jewish people. No Beis HaMikdash, forget about it, it's over if I'm wearing these clothes. But also, that we know that Aaron HaKohen participated in the Chet HaEgel. He was held accountable for the Chet HaEgel. So by wearing the clothes of the Kohen Gadol, which is completely filled with Zav to recall the Chet HaEgel, the Vart that Achashverosh is saying is, even the Kohen Gadol participated in the Chet HaEgel. You're going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash? This is the type of Yush and message he was trying to get across. Just with Derech Rem, as we mentioned before, that there are 252 provinces in the world, and the Medrash says that half of it was taken away from him because he killed Vashti. That's why he has 127. 127 is not half of 252. 126 is half of 252. So the Medrash notes this point, and the Medrash says that when he married Esther, he was given one more province back in this Chus of Esther. But really, he had 126. So it's very nice, because 126 is Gematria Cheta Ego. To show and to demonstrate that really what he ruled over, which is 126 provinces, is associated with the Cheta Ego, but that one more, which is 127, which is like on top of the Cheta Ego, that was given to Esther, as if to say that Esther was one up on the Cheta Ego. And she put Bnei Yisrael over the top. That she was Moilech over 127, not Achashverosh. There's a remnant to this where the Pasuk says that as Achashverosh and Haman are sitting together to decide the fate of the Jewish people, and Haman hands over the 10,000 shekel to Achashverosh, the Pasuk says, Asher, Amar Haman Lishkol al Ginze Hamelech la'abed iskol ha'yehudim. So there's a Rashi Tevis here. Rashi Tevis of Lishkol al Ginze Hamelech. That he's giving the shekel to the Ginze Hamelech to destroy the Jewish people. If you take a look at the Rashi Tevis, Lamed, Ayin, Gimel, Hey, spells Ha'egel. It's the Cheda Egel. This is what they were banking on. The Chay, the Egel, should wipe away the Jewish people. With this, we can understand the Chay that the Jewish people committed at that time. To be chayev kliya, to be chayev to be destroyed. Chazal are very clear when speaking about the Cheda Egel that there were two primary chatayim that Bnei Yisrael committed at that time, which is Avodah Zarah and Gidul Arayos. Because the Pasuk says, Vayakumu Litzachek, Vayoichlu Vayishtu Vayakumu Litzachek. Chazal say, Ein Tzchayk Ele Arayos. That they worshipped Avodah Zarah, they were involved in Arayos, and they ate and they drank. This is the shorish of the chet of the ego. By the suit of Achashverosh, what do we find, Rabbi saying? We find, like the Gemara tells us, why were they chayv kliya? Because they were mishtachav l'tzelem, which is what? Avodah Zarah. And because they were nehen misut of Achashverosh. But being nana for Sudha Khashverosh doesn't just mean that they ate and drank there. Being nana means that they were nana barayas. So therefore, this equation of the Cheta Egel, which is Avodah Zarah, Gil Arayas, Vayechl Vayishtu, this is exactly the Eitzah that Haman gave to Achashverosh. Why? To awaken the Cheta Egel. So it wasn't just Achashverosh said, let's just make this party filled with Zav, that's going to be the color theme, have it Zav to mean Cheta Egel. That's all in Chitzonius. But he knew what to do based on Haman's suggestion, because Haman knew how to get to the Pimius of Bnei Yisrael, but Achashverosh was just a fool, and he was a Chitzonius person, he was a Shaita. But in Pimius, he had Haman on his side, and Haman taught him, if you can get the Jewish people to commit Avodah Zarah, Arayis, Mitoch, Achil, and Shtiyah, then for real you'll be able to awaken the Cheta Egel. And this was the Eitz of Bilam also, when he sent the Bnei Smidjan, of which Zimri was Chayte, and Pinchas stood up. Bilam said, if you want to get the Jewish people, get them with Avodah Zarah and Arayis. Because he'll reawaken the Cheta Egel. And that wrath that Hashem has for the Cheta Egel. According to the Medrash, the Sud of Achashverosh was 180 days, as it says explicit in the Megillah. The 180 days began on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And if you count 180 days from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, you come to Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, which is Rosh Hashanah. The first party, which lasts 180 days, went to Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Yonatan Eibshitz says that after that, there was a hiatus, that there was a break, out of respect for the Malchus of Hashem, which Achashverosh respected. Out of respect for the Jewish people, he took off Rosh Hashanah, because after all, Hashem is the Melech Malachim Malachim. He was fearful. He was fearful of the Jewish God. They're taking off, the covered Rosh Hashanah, And then the last 7 days of the party, they culminated on Yom Kippur. It's just fascinating when you put things into perspective, when you read the Megillah this year, and you're going to read about the party, you're going to have a new context. That this was taking place when? On Yom Kippur. Azoyezak, Babyonis, and Ibshitz. Why out of all days does Haman want that this party should take place on Yom Kippur? What? Right. But in the previous, what? That's right. It's a shaykhis of the ego. Because Yom Kippur is the one day, Bashana, that Hashem Yisbarach says, I'm a chaper in the chayde ego. Chaper in the chayde ego. Now, think of Haman now. He says, Achashverosh, this party is going to culminate on Yom Kippur. That's going to be the day that Vashi is going to come out. Why is Vashi going to come out? She's going to start a huge party of what? Of Arias. Achashverosh tells her to come out with nothing on. We know that. Why does he do that? Because he wants, if the queen and the king are going to be involved in Arias, then everybody's going to be involved in Arias. And then they're going to bring the Avodah Zarah in, Vayoyech Levayishtu. And if you can awaken the Cheda Egel on Yom Kippur, then you're going to be Oiker. You're going to uproot the Koyach HaKapara from its Shairish Meneube. That forever and ever, there will always be a Zikaran of the Cheda Egel. Because if you can dull the Koyach HaKapara of Yom Kippur, on Yom Kippur, by doing the Averis of the Chayit HaEgel on that day, then you could say goodbye to Yom Kippur and forever remember the Chayit HaEgel. And there will be no hope for the Jewish people. Because if there's no Yom Kippur, then there's no Jewish people. We rely and we depend for our Chiyas in Yom Kippur every single year. So this was the master plan of Haman HaRasha. To awaken the Chayit HaEgel, the Dafkin Yom Kippur. Now, because Rabbi said there was a huge turnaround, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved the Jewish people, on that day Yom Kippur was the turnaround, because what happened? Vashti didn't come out. And because Vashti didn't come out, so that's why everything turned around in our favor. She was killed, then Esther gets on the scene, and then everything we know is beautiful from there. But Yom Kippur is really the day that Hashem said, V'nahapachu. It's not going to happen. It's very similar to like the Yom Kippur War. Like, the worst day to attack the Jewish people is on Yom Kippur. It's the very worst day. In Chitzonius, it looks like it's the best day because all the people are davening and they're weak and they're in shul. It's a fast day. But in Pinyus, this is the best day in the Jewish calendar for the Jewish people, because the Gemara says that the Satan can be Mekatreg 364 days of the year, like the Gematria of HaSatan. But there's one day, which is the 365th day, where the Satan has no Rishus Lastune, which is Yom Kippur. So if you don't have the Satan on your side making accusations of Jewish people, so then it's a day of complete Sanhedrin for the Jewish people. But if you're an Ish Chitzoni, then you think, yeah, Yom Kippur is the best day. But in Pinyin, it's the worst day to attack Jewish people. And same thing happened to Haman. It's the worst day to try to do something against Jewish people, because it's not totally in what B'nai Yisrael do. It's just that the Rachmi Shemaim is so great that there's a protection that Klal Yisrael has on that day. That's the one day of the year which Chazal call it Yom Hashem. This is Hashem's day. Yom Echad B'Shana. That would explain why it is in Tikkuni Zohar, we know that it says, Yom HaKippurim means Kippurim. But Yom Kippur is like Purim. Kippurim. Why, just random? Yom Kippur is like Purim? No, because the whole nace, the whole turnaround, according to the Rebbeinu Sanhedrin, just took place in Yom Kippur. So being that Yom Kippur is the root of the Koyach HaYeshua, so Mamela, that's why Yom Kippur and Purim are one. So now, the Medrash Pirkei Rabbi Elazar tells us that although Bnei Yisrael were involved in the Chayit HaEgel, there was one shining schus that Bnei Yisrael had, and that's what the Medrash is medayik from the pasuk, which says "Vayisparku nizmi hazav asher bi'aznehem," that the men took off their earrings on their ears. The pasuk beforehand mentioned that the men went around to the women and children too, asking for their earrings. But yet the next pasuk says that only the men contributed. So Chazal say that the women didn't give their rings. They did not give their earrings, their golden earrings, towards the building of the Chet, towards the Chet HaEgel. And for that, the Medrash says that they're awarded as a schar for that the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. That Rosh Chodesh is considered to be like a shtickle yontif for the women. tried to explain a little bit that connection. But there was one shining schos, and that is the women were not mishtatif in the Chet Egel. Now, bearing this in mind, let's go to the following conversation between Mordechai and Esther. It says that Mordechai is sitting at the Shalom Melech Besak Ve'efer. And all of a sudden he gets a package and he opens it up, and inside he sees royal clothes, and there's a message from Esther. And Esther says, "Why are you wearing sack and cloth? Put on these clothes." So he says, "No." So says the Malbim, what was it that Esther wanted from him that he should change his clothes? Malbim says that what Esther was saying was, somebody's got to go into the king. And you can't go to the Melech Besak Ve'efer. But I'm asking you to put on these clothes to go, plead to the king, beg him to take away the terrible gzeirah which is hanging over the heads of the Jewish people. L'chora, Esther has a very good taina. That between the two of them, who should go in? If anybody should go in, it should be Mordechai. It should be Mordechai. Why should it be Mordechai? Because if you recall, it wasn't that long ago that there was two guys named Bigsam and Seresh who tried to kill the king, and Mordechai saved his life. And that was written in the Sefer Zechronos, and we know later on in the Megillah that nothing had been done about it. So Mordechai had one up on Achashverosh. So what would be wrong with Mordechai being announced to come to the king and saying, "Listen, you know what? Let's call it even. I saved your life, you saved the life of the Jewish people." Right? Sounds like a good idea. So Esther has a good point. Yet Mordechai says, "No, I'm not going in, you're going in." Why? Because Mordechai the Tzaddik, he understands that this gzeirah has nothing to do with Mordechai personally. It's not just stam azoy that Haman and Achashverosh had just bad feelings towards the Jewish people. He was able to see in its shayresh that the chet ha'ego was awakened here. And because the chet of the ego was awakened here, boys, and this is the main point, that it's not shayach for any man to go in. Because I participate in the Chet Egel too. The only one who can go in is you. Because you're a woman. And the one weren't choyt about the Chet Egel. And so therefore, if I go in, and I'm trying to come towards the king, and he sticks out the Sharvet Hazav, and I'm not clean from the Chet Egel Hazav, then I'm toast. But if you go in, you can get past the Sharvet Hazav. Because that Sharvet Hazav, which is forever the zikar in front of the king of the Chet Ha'egel, of that Egel Hazav, you're naki from that, because you weren't mishtatif in that. What's interesting, that based on this yesod, we can understand a little bit about the turnaround which took place at the Suda Achashverosh. That at the Suda Achashverosh, when he called Vashti in to make the Makkah B'Patish against the Jewish people, Vashti refuses to come. Vashti refuses to come. Mamash an insanity that the queen should refuse to come. Like, what overcame her? So of course the Gemara says she has Saras or whatever else it is. But still, like, your life is on the line. Your life is on the line. But the Oymek Ha'inyan in Pnimius is as follows. That being that Achashverosh was throwing this party, to be called the Chet Ha'egel, and Dafka to be called the Chet Ha'egel in Yom Kippurim, to uproot the Schos of Yom Kippur to be Mechaper, but when you do that and you bring the Chet Ha'egel to the surface, what you're really doing is that you're recalling the one milah which the Nashim have over the Anashim, that the women have over the men, was that the women were not Chayte, and the men were Chayte. So because when you do that, you recall that Chayach, that Tkifus, that the women have over the men, so Vashi turns to Achashverosh and she says, "I'm not coming. I'm not coming." Because that's what the root of the Chet Ha'egel is. In fact, the Arizal, he writes, and it's Bratan Yaakov Ruveni in Parashas Kisisa, he says, Shekol Bali Torah Shevidarenu, that all Talmid HaChachamim in our generation, Shehem Nechnoim Tachas Nishay Sehem, that they are ruled by their wives, that they're subject to their wives, They come from the neshamas of the Jewish people who didn't rebuke or stand up or to be meichet to protest against the chayla egel. Because the women didn't want to contribute to the egel azav. That's why the women now, they rule over their husbands. I don't know if you could take this mamash lemaisa, but you see, you saw by the Arizal that the chayta egel, as it manifests itself in this world, is that if you find relationships, as the Ari, that the woman is dominant over the husband, and he's a Talmud Chacham, he's a Bali Torah, that's because in a higher place, in an earlier lifetime, there was that dynamic at the Chayta Egal, that there was a Shlita that allows her to have that Shlita over him. And that's what manifested itself by the Chayta Egal, and manifested itself by Sudas HaChashverosh, by Vasti refusing to come. Because that was the root of the Indian. Immediately after that, Achashverosh kills Vashti, and Haman convinces Achashverosh to make a gzera, liyos kol ish sarah b'vesai, that every man should dominate in the home. Why did he do that? Because what he wanted to do was to close the door to any Pesach b'Yeshua that a woman should have against the Chet HaEgel. That he mamish made a new gzera. And the Gemara says it was a foolish gzeira because everybody looked at this and they were like, what? Like, this is what you're setting gzeiras out? Of course, every man is shalit in his house. But why did Haman do that? The reason why Achashverosh looked like a fool, but Haman did that because he saw there was a Pesach here for Yeshua, that the woman was not chayt in the chayt ha'egel. So he wanted to seal off that possibility. So therefore, you can just realize the mysterious nefesh of Esther much, much more. Here Achashverosh made a gzeira, alias kol shtar b'veso, because the queen didn't come when she wasn't asked to. And that very same Zera, with the very same Melech, Mordechai is telling Esther, you need to go in. Of course, it's a death sentence for her to go in. Mordechai said to go, so she goes. But you just appreciate the degree of Mesiras Nefesh that Esther had to come to the Melech after what had happened to Vashti and the Zera which is made upon that. How she was risking her life. It was sure death. When Esther does go into Achashverosh, so the Medrash notes and says that Esther goes in Yafa Kelavana, that she was as beautiful as the Levana. And she says, Vani Lani Krasi Zeshlai Shemim, I haven't been called yet in 30 days. And we know that what? That the moon waxes and wanes and is machadish itself every 30 days. So the Medrash says that just like the Levana has a 30-day cycle, that's why Esther went in after 30 days having not been called in. So we said before what Rabbi Isai, that in the schus of the Chet HaEgel that the woman were not mishtat, that there was zeichet of the Pashas HaChodesh, that they were given the moon. So how appropriate it is that here at this moment where she's going into the king to save the Jewish people and she's using the koyach of the schus that the women weren't chaytiv at the Chet HaEgel, that dafka right there, Chazal say, oh, look, the moon is coming in. Here comes the moon. Yafika Levana. And what happens immediately after Purim, we read Parshas Para, and then what? Parshas Chodesh. So there you see the Chodesh is being given over to us after the Tikkun of the Chet HaEgel that Esther comes in to save the day. What's interesting also to point out is that we had said before, according to the Medrash, that the party of Achashverosh lasted 180 days, ending on Rosh Hashanah, but beginning on what? Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So really, when the whole thing turned around and became one big schus for the Jewish people, that from this Suda, that's how Esther came to power. If you trace the roots of this Suda, it goes back to Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which is Chodesh. So if you have eyes far enough to be able to see the root of everything, you're able to see that really everything turned around from the Jewish people when? Rosh Chodesh Nisan. There's one other interesting point when it comes to this inyan of Achashverosh to recall the Chet HaEgel. This idea that Achashverosh wants to recall the Chet HaEgel is not just a chiddush of his own. Again, he was afraid of the Jewish God. But he looked in the Torah and he had advisors who were also Jewish Chachamim, the Yoideh HaYitim, who he turned to first, by the way, Chazal say, in terms of what to do about Vashti. And if you know that there are sheish zechiras in the Torah, and one of the zechiras in the Torah is to remember the Chet HaEgel. The Torah says, Zachor al tishkach, remember lest you forget, Esa shehek tzafta es Hashem alkecha b'midbar, how you angered Hashem in the midbar with the chet ha'egel. So Achashverosh was not a dummy, and he said, listen, if Hashem wants to remember the chet ha'egel, I'll make sure he remembers it. And he tried to use the kayach of the zechira of the sheish zechira of the chet ha'egel against the Jewish people. Don't forget the chet ha'egel. So now, the fact that he remembered the chet ha'egel, he lost his wife because of that. Because if you remember the chet ha'egel, you also recall the fact that the Jewish people rebelled against Hashem. That was the wife who rebelled against her husband, the Gemara said. So it cost him his wife by remembering the chet ha'egel, but it was worth it for him. But Hashem Yisbarach says, Tachashverosh, the following thing. You're remembering the chet ha'egel. That's your mantra. Remember the chet ha'egel. And there's even a remnant to that, because the Torah had said, Zachor al tishkach isa shehek tzavta sashem alokach ha'minbar, that it's called a ketzef. This ketzef, this word ketzef, is a very uncommon word in the Torah. Yet we find it twice by the Suda of Achashverosh. It says that after Vashi doesn't come in, it says, Vayiktsof ha'melech ma'od, that he was very angered, Vayiktsof. And then Haman says to Achashverosh, if you don't make a gzeira, uchtai bizoyon v'kotzef. Why ketzef by the Suda? Because the whole essence of the Suda was to remember Esa Shrek Tzavtas Shem Elkech ha'Midbar. What happens is now is that there's this ketzef, and as we call him the Chet ha'egel, and I'll just mention parenthetically that the Medrash says that Bnei Yisrael came to the Chet ha'egel because they drink a lot of wine, and what's Achashverosh's plan? Everybody come to this big mishnah, everybody drink a lot of wine. Fits into the theme very nicely. But Hashem Yisbarach says to Achashverosh the following thing. If you're going to take the Zechiras, which is the Zechira of the Chet ha'egel, you got to take not just one, you got to take all of them. I mean, this is a package deal. Either you take all the Zechiras, or you take none of the Zechiras. So if you're going to take the Zechira of the Chet ha'egel and use it against the Jewish people, then you have to take the other five Zechiras also. What are the other five Zechiras? Mad?
Mitzrayim.
Huh?
Miriam.
Har Sinai.
Shabbos.
Natman. Shabbos.
And Amalek.
Miriam, Shabbos, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Matan Torah, Amalek, Chet ha'egel. Those are the Sheish Zechiras. After Shacharis, you can see there are Sheish Zechiras. It should be in your Siddur. It's for sure in the article. So Hashem says to Achashverosh the following thing. You're awakening the Chet ha'egel against the Jewish people. So you have to take the five Zechiras too. So where do we find the other five Zechiras coming in to help the Jewish people? Yitzias Mitzrayim, where do we find Yitzias Mitzrayim here? No, more than that. The whole killing of Haman and the whole episode in the Megillah took place on Pesach. We make the mistake to think that everything took place in Adar. That's not true. Only the shechting of our enemies took place in Adar. But the Nesis Purim, which is the whole turnaround, the whole Venahapachu, that whole thing took place on Pesach. So you see that when you read about the Megillah later, Balayla Hahu, another Dashnas HaMelech, and Haman comes in, and Mordechai is riding around on a horse, that's all taking place on Pesach. That's very clear from Chazal. So you see that Pesach came to take its vengeance against Haman. Now where do you find Matan Torah in the Megillah? Kimu v'Kiblu, that they re-accepted the Torah. So if you want to awaken, remember the Zechiris, remember Matan Torah. Kimu v'Kiblu Yehudim, Kimu Mashah Kiblu Kfar. They re-accepted the Torah by the Nesipur. Where do you find the Zechir of Amalek? That's Pasha, the killing of Haman. Haman was an Amaleki. Where do you find, it's a little harder, the Zechir of Shabbos?
They rested.
Huh? That's true. Kasher Nochu HaYehudim. So Chazal say, Kasher Nochu HaYehudim means that there was an aspect of Menuchas Shabbos. Which is why the Ramah writes that on Purim, the Inyan is to wear Shabbos clothes and Yontif clothes. Because it's not just the Yontif, it's also Bechin of Shabbos, Agav. But there's more of a direct connection to Shabbos. Because it says in the Megillah, Bayoyim HaShvi'i Ketoyiv Lev HaMelech Bayayin. That last day of the Suda was not just Yom Kippur, it was also Shabbos. Yom Kippur is also called Shabbos in the Torah. On that seventh day of the party, which was Shabbos, everything turned around and Vashti was killed. That took place on Shabbos. And the Gemara is very clear about that. The reason why it took place on Shabbos is because Vashti would make bizyonis out of the Jewish women by having them work unclothed on Shabbos. So that's why Shabbos came to take its vengeance from Vashti. But you see, the whole turnaround began on Shabbos. So you're remembering at this Sudach, is remembering the Zechira of the Eagle? Okay, remember Shabbos too. And where do you find the Zechira of Miriam? What?
Save the Jewish people
against them. Very good. If this is what you're saying. That of course, Rabbi Yisai, remembering Miriam doesn't just mean to remember the fact that Miriam spoke Lashon Hara against Moshe. Because the Pasuk doesn't say that. It says, Zachar Eis Asher Asa Shemil Kech L'Miriam. Remember what Hashem did to Miriam. Hashem did lots of things to Miriam. So included in that very vague mitzvah of remembering Miriam means remembering also not just the terrible thing, which, if it's even terrible, which she did to speak Lashon Hara against Moshe, she didn't go into Eretz Yisrael because of that. So there was some chait, she's accused of a chait in the Torah. But it also remains to remember the fact that Miriam and the women were not mishtatev in the chait eigel. Now how do you know they weren't mishtatev in the chait eigel? What does Miriam have to do with that? Well, think about it, Rabbi Sai. Moshe went up to Har Sinai. And they want to make an eagle. So the men go to Aaron and they say, Aaron, should we make the eagle? Aaron says, yes. He says, yes? Okay, everybody takes off the earrings and throws it into the fire. The women, who are the women going to? Going to Miriam. She led them in Shir by the Yam, did she not? And Miriam says, what? We're not being mishtatif. The women will not be mishtatif in this. She was the ringleader. So if the women didn't commit, that was because Miriam said not to. And so therefore, remembering the schus of Miriam, remembering Miriam means you have to remember the fact that the women were not mishtatif in the chayde. So if you're going to remember that at your party, then Vashi's going to die, and somebody's going to save the day, and that's going to be Esther. Because Esther wasn't chayt by the chayde eagle. You can even go so far as to say that Moshe was a nitzitz of Mordechai, and Esther was a nitzitz of Miriam, but ain kamakam maharach b'zeh. Happens to be, the Ari says already that Miriam is gematria par. Miriam has actually gematria 290, par is 280, but up in Kabbalah he adds 10 more to make it 290. We know that par, of course, is the root of the word Purim, whereas like para, aduma, parshas far follows par, says the Ari. But Miriam was not mishtatif in the chet ego. In fact, the Gemara in Sota implies that. The Gemara in Sota says that the women who were asked to come build the Mishkan, who was the one who was asked? It was Miriam. Miriam was asked to come build the Mishkan because those who were not mishtat in the Chayit Egel were able to build the Mishkan. There's even a remnant of this in Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Kol Meirim, Truma Kesef. Meirim means to dedicate, Truma. But the word Meirim is also the letters Miriam. So Miriam is not mishtatif. And therefore there's a Zechir of Miriam which is taking place at what? At the Suda Zachashverish. So look at the correlation also between that Zechiah and Miriam. Miriam spoke Lashon Hara against Moshe, and because of that, Bnei Yisrael waited for 7 days, and she had Saraz. Here at the Suda of Achashverosh, the last part of the party is what? 7 days, and Vashi doesn't come out because she has Saraz. That's Mamash Zechiah of Miriam. That what happened to Vashti is the same thing which happened to Miriam. Just parenthetically, also the Torah says that Miriam spoke Lashon Hara against Moshe, Al Isha Kushis Asher Lakach. Kushis is actually the letters Kivashti. With this we can understand the following thing as well. That the Jewish people were very happy when they saw the Tchelis of Mordechai. What's the big deal about the Tchelis of Mordechai? What the Teretz is that we know that in the Parsha of Tzitzis, the Torah says, "Uraisim oso uzachartem es kol mitzvos Hashem asisim oisam." That you'll see the Tchelis and you remember all the mitzvos of Hashem. What are the mitzvos of Hashem? So you could say it's Taryag mitzvos, like Rashi says there. You can also say it refers to the Sheish Zechiros. That's called the Mitzvah Hashem. That when you see the Tcheles, you remember the Sheish Zechiros. That's why it says Zechartem. You remember the Sheish Zechiros when you see the Tcheles because of Zechartem. That's what it means. the Zechira mitzvahs. So when they saw the Tchilas Mordechai, they rejoiced because they saw that really the Sheish Zechiras were responsible for the Nes. And the Tchilas Shemanya did that. How do you see that? Because the pasuk continues, V'loisasiru acharei levavchem acharenichem ashadem zonim achareyem. So the Gemara darshins, V'loisasiru acharei levavchem, what does it say? Zuminus, avodah zarah. V'achareinichem, zuznus. These are the two averis of avodah zarah and zuznus. We spoke about before, which is the cheta egel. And furthermore, it says, L'man tizkru v'asisem, u'zechartem v'asisem. And what's the mocker that we know that we learn out Kriyas and Megillah from? The Gemara says, because the pasuk says, V'hayamim ha'ele nizkarim v'nasim. That's the same thing. Nizkarim v'nasim is the same thing as u'zechartem v'asisem. L'man tizkru v'asisem, u'zechirin anasiyah. So therefore, what beroisam yachat tchilas Mordechai, when they saw the tchilas, they remembered the sheish tchiris l'man tizkiru, because it was the sheish tchiris which was responsible for the nes. We can explain based on this as well the association to Parshas Para, which follows the nes of Purim, the yontiv of Purim. We have Shkalim, Zohar, and then Parshas Para. Why Parshas Para? Because the Gemara says that if you take a look at Parshas Para, which is the beginning of Chukas, immediately after Parshas Para, the Torah goes into the death of Miriam. And the Gemara says, why is it that there's this juxtaposition of the Misa of Miriam with the Parsha Para? To teach you that just like Para is Mechaper, so too Misa of Miriam is Mechaper. You see right away, Rabbi Isai, that Parshas Par is associated with Miriam. That there's a recalling and a remembrance of Miriam when you read Parshas Par. Why? Because we explained. Because poor mass to do with the Schus of Miriam, that she wasn't Mishtatav in the Ega. Furthermore, we see from here, though, that Misas Tzadik Mechaperes. That when a Tzadik dies, he's Mechaper in the generation. Mechaper in the generation. Where do we find by the Nes of Purim that there was Misa Tzadik and Mechaperes? That there was a Bechina Paraduma there? So you could say a few things. One thing you could say is that Esther's predicament, all that she went through was like a Misa. Like she says, Kasher Avadati Avadati. If I go ahead and do this Baratzim with Achashverosh, then I'm dead. You can consider me dead. And all the torture that she went through in the house of Achashverosh was like she had died. Kasher Avadati Avadati. So therefore, the whole sugya of Esther in the Beis HaMalchus was like Misas Tzadik. It's like Misas Miriam, which is Mechaperes. And whenever there's a Misas Tzadik, there's a Kapara. So therefore, through the Misa of Esther, meaning what Mordechai understood was that putting Esther through this, that would be like Misas Miriam, that would be like Misas Esther, and it would awaken the Kapara to avert the Gzeira of Achashverosh and Haman. So therefore, Parshas Para follows Purim. You can also say that there was one tzaddik who actually was killed by Haman. The Gemara says that Hasach was killed. Who was Hasach? The Gemara says Hasach was Daniel. Daniel the tzaddik. He was killed by Haman. So it could be not just a pshat that Haman killed Daniel. This is that Daniel sacrificed his life. That he was Meister Nefesh HaKiddush Hashem to die because he knew the Gzerah. He was the in-between between Mordechai and Esther. And once he heard about the Gzeira, he allowed himself to be killed by Haman al-Kiddush Hashem, that Hashem would now take a vengeance against Haman for killing a tzaddik like this. So he gave up his life. Which is why it's not a coincidence that Daniel is Gematria Haman. They're both Gematria 95. And he put his life on the line at the hands of Haman that Hashem's wrath should go against him. That's also Misa Tzadik Mechaperes. But perhaps even more than that, you could say as follows. That there was one tzaddik by the Chet HaEgel who died al-Kiddush Hashem. The 70 Zakenim were killed, Chazal say. 3,000 people were killed. But there was one tzaddik, true tzaddik, who was killed. That was? Chor. Who was Chor?
Miriam's son.
That's the greatest edus that Miriam was not mishtatif in the Egel. Because her son was a mishtatif and he even gave his life on it. Right? Chor was the son of Kaleb and Miriam. So the fact that Chur had died at the Chet HaEgel, we don't find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mechaper in anything because of that. Of course, that he was mechaper in the Chet HaEgel, but we don't find that explicitly in Chazal. It could be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saving the Misa of Chur, that he died al Kiddush Hashem, for the times of Mordechai and Esther. What? Chur Karpas Utcheles. So therefore, at the Sudas Achashverish, what does it say? That he adorned the Suda with what? Chur Karpas Utcheles. And that Ches is actually a Ches Rabasi, a big Ches. There's only two letters in the whole Megillah which are big. The Ches of Chur and the Tav of Vatichta of Esther. The reason why it's a Ches Gadol by Chur is because they want you to remember the very big Chur, that Tzaddik all the way back. Chur, Karpas, like a Lashon of Kapara, and the Tcheles is the Biryam Samyach at Tcheles Mordechai. So with this you can understand whether it's Chur, whether it's Daniel, or whether it's Esther. And if it's Esther, it actually goes very nicely, because Haman made a gzeira la'abid is called Yehudim. He wanted to kill all the Yehudim. And if you consider Esther's Miriam to be like a death, kasher avadati avadati, so then the gzeira was niskayim, right? Because he says la'abid is called Yehudim, and she says exactly that lashon, kasher avadati avadati. So he killed all of Bnei Yisrael, because Esther contained within herself all of Knesset Yisrael. Like she says to Achashverosh, she says, "Nafshi b'sheilasi va'ami b'vakashasi." Me and my people, we are one. And she says, "If you're going to wipe out my people, you can wipe me out as well." So therefore, if Esther's misa, what she has to go through, kashav nevati, so then it was niskayim. So therefore, Hashem turns around and he says, "What do you mean? The gzera was niskayim already. You killed all the Jewish people with this. So therefore, you were mekayim the gzera." So now, you can't really kill the Jewish people because you killed Esther already, and she's koilel all of Bnei Yisrael. You remember, Abed is called a Yehudim. So the Gzeir was Mamash Niskai. The Emi Noyam, which is one of the Jik of Arams, he has a very nice shtickle on this. He doesn't say it exactly like that, but he says this Svara, like, it was already Niskayim, so Mimela, why should it have to happen again? So getting back to our question that we started with, the connection between Purim and the Chet HaEgel. Why do we read about the Chet HaEgel at this time of year in Purim? I think it's clear, based on what we said, that the whole Hisiris of the Gzeir against the Jewish people, because they repeated the Chataim of the Chet HaEgel, which is the Snus, and Yevodah Zarah, Mitoich, Achil, and Shtia. Like the Gemara says, they awaken the Chet HaEgel, so therefore it's extremely appropriate that we read about the Chet HaEgel at this time. At this time of year when we read about Purim. Why was the Nei Stavka Yedei Isha? Well, because the Nashim were in Chote by the Chet HaEgel, that was the Pesach that Mordechai found. This wasn't just some debate between Mordechai and Haman. Mordechai had the depth to see that this is going back to the Chet HaEgel. This is an old Gzeira. And so therefore, only this Chos of the Isha can penetrate and find that Pesach to be Mechaper. Why does the Gemara say that they were Nen and Misudas Achashverosh and they were Meshtachev Letzelem? Because these are the two Chataim which awaken the Chet HaEgel. And why did we say it was Moshe Milamala and Mordechai Milamata? Why would the Avos say we want to have Shaychus to this and only Moshe takes responsibility? Because when it came to the Chet HaEgel, Moshe said, remember this Chos of the Avos? And Hashem says, no, forget about Chos Avos. Who was the only one who was able to stop the Chet HaEgel? It was Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore, the Avos say, we're not going to get involved. Who's the only one who can get involved? Moshe Rabbeinu. Because if this is a Chet HaEgel digzach, then the only one who can take it on is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Milamala and Mordechai Milamat. And in the same way that after the Chet HaEgel, that through the Kapar of the Chet HaEgel, Bnei Yisrael went on afterwards to build the Mishkan. That out of the Kapar of the Chet HaEgel, there was a rebuilding of the Jewish people. That we go on and reread about the building of the Mishkan, which we're reading about Vayakel, Pekudei, the building of the Mishkan after the Chet HaEgel. So too, in the Schus of Mordechai and Esther, and the Kapar for the Chet HaEgel in their times, immediately afterwards, Achashverosh gave Rishus to build the base of Mikdash, and it was built by the son of Esther, out of all people, the son of Esther. It's like the Bechin of Chur, the son of Esther, the son of Miriam, to rebuild the base of Mikdash. So we should be zeicha, and in our times too, that as we mechazik ourselves in this generation, that there's so many kfiris out there, and there's so much that the person can access in just the push of a button, all different types of terrible inyanim. So we have to realize that in this generation too, that if we fall chas v'shalom to those kfiris, that are to that or to those temptations chas v'shalom, that what the umos olam want more than anything else is to be mashalos in the chet ego. And if there's gzeiros against the Jewish people, like those of Haman and like those of Bilam and those Rishayim, we have to ask ourselves, is this a new gzeira, or is this just tapping into a higher place called the Chet HaEgel? But the formula is forever the same. The Torah is eternal. This has to be our biggest ishtablus. Our biggest ishtablus has to be to mechazak ourselves in emunah and shmiras abris. This is what we stand up against in this generation. Baruch Hu should help us, and on the schos of being mechazak ourselves and dedicating ourselves to Torah and to Tefillah, which is the two biggest shields against these inyanim, we should be zeicha as well. Then, in the schos of being mishtadl against the eagle at its core, we should be zeicha to rebuild and to see the bina bayis shlishi, be as kol tzedek mi'avinu amen.
Amen.